It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles, and to all of you listening on KBC.com around the world. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, and today is no different than any other day, because I am here to be the managing partner of your life. I am so excited to be with my co-host, the beautiful Carrie Kasem. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
I'm actually okay. I'm doing all right. You know, it's weird. I had a weird week. A lot of good things happened. A lot of bad things happened.
Well, I only like to hear about the good things because, you know, we are taking negatives and we're turning them into positives. This is Murphy's Law turned upside down. Gervie's Law is anything that can go wrong can also go right in harmony.
There you go. No, so my grandma died, and this wasn't unexpected.
Really?
Yeah, she's
really
been sick for a long time. Thank you. But, you know, there's a point where you don't want to see anybody suffer anymore. And, yes, you know, you don't want them to go, but you also don't want them to stay in this pain and suffering. And so I was with her, you know, every day in hospice.
Wow.
And she died on Wednesday.
How old was she?
93.
What a great life.
It was a great life. And she literally was independent up until this last May. Drove, still taught lessons, music and singing and piano. And we were 50 years and one day apart. We were so much alike. It was so weird.
It's great.
Yeah.
Well, you got some great genes.
Yeah.
So hopefully you will have that kind of life till 93 or longer.
I hope so.
I'll tell you, interestingly, that you talk about your grandmother today because did you hear the big news in law this week?
No, tell me.
There was huge news that we have to talk about from a legal perspective because this is a legal show. And Jordan Zeidman actually sued his mother to recover $5,000 that his grandmother promised him for his bar mitzvah.
Did he win?
He won. His grandmother, who they affectionately called Baba, she promised him at his bar mitzvah that she would give him $5,000, and his mother was supposed to give it to him. So by the age of 20, he still hadn't gotten it from his mother, so he sued her and won.
So mommy just basically took the money from grandma.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I'm wondering if she did, and she's like, well, it was for your, you know, bar mitzvah. I used it for your bar mitzvah.
No, I think they had an estranged relationship, and that's something that unfortunately occurs too often. But for a 20-year-old kid, you know, if there was money promised from Baba for the bar mitzvah, he should have gotten it. And apparently the judge agreed. They did the discovery. They found out that there was a promise, that there was a contract, that there was an agreement, and that the mother was responsible to fork the $5,000 over at 20 years old.
Do you think, and I know someone who sued their father, then claimed to love him and this. I don't understand that. I don't get how you can sue a parent and then want to have the relationship back again or want to have this friendly. That doesn't make any. If you're going to go as far to sue your own parent, can there be reconciliation? Can there really be trust?
I'm not sure, but that's interesting that you talk about that because we need to delve into the subject about suing a spouse for divorce because we're going to be talking about that a lot. And of course, maybe you can sue a step parent. Have you ever thought about suing a step parent?
Oh, have I? That's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show.
All right. Sorry to catch you off guard there.
I think you can sue anybody who is extremely abusive, evil, and does things that are horrible to people. I think that, you know, you, to kind of stop them or to shut them down, I think sometimes the law is the only way to go.
That's right. And we are here to champion the law because for the most part, it keeps things in society going right. But then there are certain times where the law doesn't really work in your favor. We are going to talk today, and folks, you do not want to miss this show because we have some really sexy stuff to talk about. Carrie, what are we going to talk about?
Oh, divorce is so sexy. That's the first word that comes to my mind when I think divorce.
Yes, sexy. And we are so privileged to have with us one of the top divorce attorneys in the world. We have Neil Hirsch, who will be on our show from Hirsch, Manis, and Bogan, and he has represented the likes of Robin Givens, Brad Pitt, Pamela Anderson, Halle Berry, Kim Basinger, Denise Richards, and the list goes on and on. This guy hobnobs with the top A-list people in Hollywood and fights like hell to protect their interests in divorce.
I think that's great. I think you need a great attorney when you're getting divorced, but I also think you should think if you, I think people who are smart enough and have common sense get a prenup. That's my feeling. I feel like if you are sane enough to get a prenup and you know you're not angry with one another, you don't hate each other, and you can say, okay, let's be sane about this. If something goes wrong, this is yours, this is mine, this is, let's stick with this. Because when you're angry and you're upset, you're not rational and you want to get revenge, and then that's not fair for anybody.
Right, but it doesn't always work that way.
True.
It's easy to negotiate a prenup when everything is right, and then when things go wrong, you know, unfortunately, people don't want to abide by that prenup.
Is that hard to just say, throw out something that's an agreement that's kind of ironclad, done with attorneys, done with everything, you know, legally?
Well, there are always loopholes in contracts. So you can always argue that this clause doesn't apply or this prerequisite or what we call a condition precedent doesn't apply or didn't materialize, so therefore the subsequent clause is not in effect. However, that's the minutiae that you fight about after things go wrong. And we're going to talk to Neil how he deals with this, with these high-profile cases. We'll talk about child custody because that's the big one, mm-hmm. in the best interests of the child. We will also, we can ask him about prenups if you like, Carrie.
I would love to ask him about prenups.
Before we get to Neil, though, we are privileged to have with us Dr. Ralph Diner, and he is an expert in relationships. He has written materials such as The Role of Hormones in the War of the Sexes and Sexless Marriages, Where's Waldo? So he's going to talk about... Why is that so funny? He's going to talk about these marriages and what goes wrong and why celebrities can't seem to stick together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not only celebrities, but yeah, you hear about them all the time. Of course, I think it is harder to be a celebrity and be in a marriage. But my gosh, half my friends are divorced. I said this, Alan, when I was in my 20s, right? All my friends who are getting married, I'm like, why am I going to this wedding? There's going to be a second, probably
right,
a third.
Right.
Why am I wasting my money or buying a dress? And most of my friends are now divorced or, you know, onto their second, some onto their third.
Well, that's true. And that's what I said about my first wife when I introduced him to all my friends. Here, meet my future ex-wife.
Right.
So we have
exactly
we have divorces and splits. With Gwen Stefani, Reba McEntire, Mariah Carey, and Nick Cannon, of course, Hillary Duff and her hockey-playing husband, Kourtney Kardashian, Ben Affleck, the one that's been in the news the most lately, and, of course, Michael Sam, the former and a CFL football player with the Montreal Alouettes. All of these people are in the news this year for divorces. It's just never-ending, and we need to learn a little bit about why this is the case and whether it is, in fact, different with the celebrity population versus your friends who apparently are divorcing at the same rate as the celebrities.
It seems like it. Maybe it's California. Who knows? Maybe it's in the bigger cities. I don't know. But it seems about the same.
Well, we're going to find out. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We'll be right back.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
You know, as soon as your baby is born, they're ready to learn. In fact, in the first 3 years of their lives, over 80% of their brains develop. Over 80%. When you talk to them, read to them, sing to them, from the moment they're born, their ability to learn increases and their brains develop at rapid speed. It's not hard. Just be you. Talk to them. Let them hear words. Read to them. Let them see words. And sing to them. Let them feel the magic of song. Their brains get stronger, more powerful. You get them ready for school and a life of learning. You are their first teacher, the most important teacher they will ever have. Go to firstfivecalifornia.com/parents to learn more. Talk, read, sing. It changes everything. firstfivecalifornia.com/parents.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I love it, love it, love it.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, yeah.
So good it hurts.
Oh, it's so good it hurts. I'm Alan Gervey, and you're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we're making things good here on Saturday afternoon with Carrie Kasem. Today we are talking about divorce, and specifically we are talking about divorce in the celebrity community because this year has featured so many splits that we need to find out what the heck is going on and why are all these marriages doomed. If you have any questions or comments, you can always call us here at Gervey's Law at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. And we will be having Neil Hirsch, one of the elite celebrity divorce attorneys in the country and in the world, for that matter, on our show in approximately 14 minutes. So if you have any questions for Neil and some of his celebrity clients, call us 800-222-5222. But now we need to learn a little bit about what goes on in the heads of celebrities and everyone else when they get married. Do they need to have their head examined? Because as Carrie said in our first segment, it seems like every marriage is doomed, Carrie.
It does. Not every. I'd say a lot. And because saying every is, I do have friends that have been married since high school. They were two sets of friends that found each other in high school, and now they're married, and they're still married 20-something years later. So, I mean, they're both still going strong. They both have kids. And so that's the only I think that's pretty cool. But for the most part, my friends that got married in their 20s are now divorced.
So we need to learn more about this. And we have brought on the show Dr. Ralph Diner. Dr. Ralph Diner is a well-known consultant in television and movies. He's a relationship expert, and he's frequently a guest on talk shows and on reality TV. Dr. Diner, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So we want to jump in right here. Dr. Diner, tell us, what is up with all of these celebrities who can't stay married? Why is it that celebrities in particular seem to just screw up their relationships?
I'd like to go back one second and say one thing about Carrie said. You know, it's interesting. I think that people who meet when they're young and bond before jaded and had a whole lot of bad relationships, mm-hmm. those often do are the ones that work because they're friends as well as...
Very good friends. Yeah, they both right. are both pair and very good friends.
And yeah. Michael J. Fox may be one particular example of that because through all of the adversity that he's had, and he's been married for a long time, and you know they met as kids when he was on the show, Family Ties.
Huh, yeah. Really? I didn't know that. Interesting. In answer to your question, Alan, I think that it's pretty common knowledge, obviously, that narcissism is involved in celebrity. It's involved in everybody who achieves beyond the mean of the world. We all have, and there's healthy and unhealthy narcissism. Healthy narcissism makes great leaders. You have to know you can do something to be able to do it. And that's where you get great actors, you get great musicians, you get great athletes. They don't go, can I really make a jump shot. I mean, they know they can and they
yes.
do. So, but it cuts both ways. Narcissism starts in a lot of bad ways sometimes and in a lot of good ways. And the bad ways it could start with toxic shame if someone's been abused or whatever. So they feel that they're not enough and they need more and they want more and more is never enough. And so it cascades into an ever widening gyre of angst and grief and could lead to drug use and suicide, especially if they don't get success. In fact, a lot of serial killers are frustrated narcissists.
So, Dr. Diner, are you saying right now that it's not about the relationship between two people, but it's actually about the individual and the problems and issues they bring into the relationship?
Well, you asked a very interesting question, because with a narcissist, basically, the relationship's with themselves in the mirror,
yes.
and everybody they're with is a mirror. Is something that's in the mirror. Is my car, am I at the level that it should be? Is my wife, is my girlfriend, is my mistress, is my whatever? So, in a sense, it's an oxymoronic question, because it's hard to have a relationship with anybody when you're stuck looking at the world as though it's a mirror.
Well, I'm an oxymoronic guy. Now, what I want to say to that, though, is does that attract a celebrity to another celebrity? Because Neil Hirsch is going to be on the show, and he's the celebrity divorce attorney, and a lot of the couples that he has been involved with the divorce, he's representing an actor who is married to an actor. So as part of the narcissistic personality, does that mean they have to be with someone who is, for no better term, a big shot or a celebrity or head?
Well, I think it was Zsa Zsa Gabor years ago. I don't remember. I don't remember who it was. But made the comment that husbands are like houses. You should always trade up. I mean, I think that says
trade
it.
Trade up. I love it. I love that a woman said that.
Yeah, it was. It was Joan Rivers or someone like that. I don't remember who it was. But that's essentially what it is. You very rarely hear of celebrities marrying beneath themselves. And that's part of the problem.
But what's really beneath? Because I look at the marriages that last in Hollywood. It's not necessarily two stars. If you look right, and it's not necessarily they're beneath. It could look at George Clooney, who married Amal Amaldine or whatever her name is. She's incredibly intelligent. Probably has far superior intelligence than anybody he's probably ever acted with. She's done more good for the world than anybody he's ever been with. So this man, to me, I look at her as superior, not because he's the movie star. But here's another one. You look at what's the guy who did the Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. His wife is not a movie star, nor does she look like one. They've been together forever and ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's different. That goes back to what we said before. But you don't see George Clooney marrying a barista.
But he was with those women. He was with waitresses almost the whole time.
All right, wait a second,
right.
guys. Let's back off
in
from who should
sense.
Be to who together. Dr. Diner, tell us what it is. When you talk about hormones, the role of hormones, the war of the sexes, does that play a role with the celebrities or with people in general?
Well, absolutely. In fact, let me even take it more basic than that. I think the seven-year itch is a seven-year itch for a real reason. Basically, in prehistoric times, women needed to be protected from being tiger food if they were waddling around 9 months pregnant. So by the time you meet somebody, have sex with them, and the child is born and able to move on its own and be somewhat independent and help the tribe pick berries or learn how to hunt or whatever at that point, it's about 7 years. Romeo and Juliet, if you remember, her father was concerned she was an old maid. She was 14. People lived as long, but they tended to die from other things,
30?
Yeah, something like that. So it's easy to go to death do his part when you're already halfway there at 14.
It's true.
And also Mother Nature really wants you to spread the seed. She doesn't really much care about your happiness or my happiness. She cares about propagating the species, getting new haploids to mix, to develop new immunities, better, healthy, more generic, or however you want to call it, beings. And I think that goes against the man-made institution of marriage. It doesn't fit generally with it. I'm not knocking it, though.
But are you saying that you're against marriage, that this is not a normal situation for two adults to be in?
Am I against it? Well, it's not up for a vote, but for me personally, I did twice, and I have purple hearts in both bank accounts, so I'm not really going for that again in my life.
But from a general psychologist perspective, you know, there's a lot of aspects that go into a good marriage.
Yes.
Isn't it something that you can look at and you can counsel people? For instance, these celebrities who are getting divorces. It's expensive. Then we have to deal with children, the best interests of the children. When we talk about law and divorce, there are so many complications. Isn't there a way for these people to make it work?
Yes. This is my solution. It's been my solution for the last 15 years, and I've been saying it on air. Why are we not given permits before we marry? You have to be with somebody for 3 years before you can then get married legally by the state, because those 3 years are when everybody breaks up anyways, isn't the first 3 years.
But I think that's it's a little wrong, because I think people living together is that example. I realize you're talking about officially.
Legally.
But I think that's the problem. When people then make a legal contract of marriage,
yes,
they're no longer involved with each other. They also have the law in bed with them.
But they want to be married.
Yes, they do.
Right?
They want
so
to celebrate themselves.
Not everybody. I could go either way. With the man I'm with now, if he still wants to be married in a few years, fine. But I'm not somebody who's like dreamed of a white wedding or dreamed of being married. That's just not who I am. But I truly feel that if these people that want to rush into marriage and think it's all that, okay, let's give you 3 years. And in those 3 years, you can leave each other without having the entire the divorce.
But that's different, is because you're right. At that point, you can leave without having the divorce. Once you've tied the knot,
right,
it is, in fact, a knot that has to be untied. And I think that really the solution lies on the other end. I think, and I've said this since my first divorce, I honestly think that divorce should be the last community expense. That would take a lot of litigation down, if you ask me. I don't know why they've never passed it, except maybe, no offense to lawyers, it's not advantageous to lawyers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know about that. And I'm not sure I understand what you're saying, so why don't you just extrapolate?
Well, in a contentious divorce, especially take a narcissist whose ego is now ego wounded, their husband, their wife, whichever side it is, has cheated with somebody and whatever, they've got an ego wound. So they get into a vicious series of battles. Mm-hmm. They fight over everything. This costs that guy $100,000. I'm going to try to bankrupt them. This is another $10,000, another $50,000 here. If that were divided by two in a community expense and not just bankrolling whoever had the more
right.
money, I think that would curtail an awful lot of nuisance suits in the process
Absolutely.
Of divorce.
But
I totally
that's,
agree
that's counterintuitive, and we can't do anything about narcissistic personalities except maybe treatment. There are a lot of issues that people have, anger issues, and you have to be realistic.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about sex. You wrote something called Sexless Marriage, Where's Waldo? Tell us what that means.
Oh, what does that mean? I think that, honestly, that has to do with the seven-year itch thing I was saying to you. I think relationships start with lust. The successful ones are based on friendship, history, both good and bad. Overcoming bad history is as important as having good history, successfully overcoming bad history. However, lust is what triggers most relationships. It should be harder to get out of bed in the beginning of a relationship than to get into bed. And as relationships go on, lust dies out. I think that has to do with Mother Nature, quite honestly. Familiarity breeds contempt, so to speak. I don't mean to make it exaggerated to that level, but it certainly can get that way.
So are all the celebrities who are divorcing every day, do they not like each other? Because if you're looking at it, lust versus like, maybe they're really hot and they really enjoy being in bed together, but they actually don't like each other. So is that what divorce attorneys are betting on, that people just don't like each other? And with celebrities, they're so into liking themselves that they can't like anyone else.
Well, that's the point. That's exactly what you just took my answer to your question in the last sentence of your question. That's exactly right. I don't know that narcissist really has a sense of an us.
I agree with you. I dated one. He was an
Just
actor.
One.
Yeah,
what
that was it.
Who haven't you dated?
No, oh my Lord. You know, Alan.
I'm not going there.
I could say something, but I'm not. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
All right,
listen.
Well, we have to take a break, so you're going to keep your mouth shut for at least 5 minutes.
All right.
Everyone stay tuned, because we have Neil Hirsch, one of the top divorce attorneys in the city. He's going to be on with us after after the break. If you want to call, call 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. We will be right back.
Hey kids, take a look at those bags under your eyes. Today is the last day they're going to stare back at you. Thanks to Genucel, those bags will disappear safely and naturally. The new Genucel plant stem cell therapy for bags and puffiness under the eyes from our friends at Chamonix is doing just that for men and women all over our country. Listen to Josie from Littlefield, Arizona. She said, I've been using Genucel for 2 weeks and my husband is amazed. He says all the puffiness and lines are gone. I love this product so much I want to use it on my entire face. Well, Josie, your husband can use it too because it works for men and women. In fact, with its instant effects, you'll see results in as little as 12 hours. Give him a call. 800-663-2495, 800-663-2495. Order Genucel right now and get the legendary Esotique Wrinkle Treatment absolutely free with your order. Genucel works. That's guaranteed, or you get your money back. 800-663-2495, 800-663-2495. That's 800-663-2495.
For the first time, successful business owners can learn how to reduce their taxes by 20 to 40% by using the same tax strategies used by the wealthiest Americans and large companies. As a U.S. appeals court justice said, there are two systems of taxation in our country, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. Prepare to be one of the informed. Tune in this Saturday at 11 a.m. to the Tax Planning Hour, strategies used by the 1% to pay less tax, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
I heard it through the grapevine. This is Alan Gervey, and we're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. This is Gervey's Law. We're taking everything that's wrong in the world, and we're making it right, especially when it comes to divorce. We are talking about celebrity divorce today, and we are so excited to have with us one of the top celebrity divorce attorneys in the world. Neil Hirsch is on the line. Neil, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Hey, nice to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you, and thanks for taking time out on this beautiful Saturday afternoon to talk to us. I have a question, Neil. I was reading that you always saw yourself doing this, being this big shot a lawyer when you were in junior high and high school. How did that happen? How did you know you were going to be what you are today?
Well, I don't know exactly what you read. I knew I was going to be a lawyer, and I knew I wanted to be successful, but the rest of it was just a lot of hard work and perseverance, that's for sure.
Well, that's important. You know, the perseverance is really the thing that gets things going. You started out representing some celebrities, Robin Givens, way back when, and then it just seems to snowball. How did you become so fascinated with celebrity divorce?
You know, truth be told, they're very interesting people, but just I'd like to say, it sort of happens like in any other field. You represent one celebrity, they tell somebody that you represented them, they tell the next person, and before you know it, it's just a whole group of people that are coming your way. But having said that, they're very interesting people to deal with, both in film and music. We do a lot in both areas. And I enjoy the people, and I enjoy their lifestyles, and we just seem to have a camaraderie between us that's been successful over the years.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the coming minutes. We have with us Dr. Ralph Diner, and he's a specialist in relationships. And Carrie Kasem, of course, is my co-host. Quick question, as we talk about your past, your mentoring from Simon Taub, he was known as one of the greatest family law lawyers in the city, and he had a gentlemanly demeanor. What did you learn from Simon?
Oh, my goodness. He was a remarkable person. He always kept his wits about him. He never got too agitated or excited, and he really taught me to, you know, we do a lot of litigation, so I guess the point that I want to bring out is he taught me very clearly that when the other side starts getting crazy and acting, losing their temper, you've won the point, so just keep your equilibrium, keep your, you know, eye on the ball and move forward. And he always did it as a gentleman and a terrific lawyer.
And that's a key piece of advice for all you lawyers who are listening, because I'm in court every day and I see it all the time. People losing their heads when others aren't. And it's the ones that aren't typically who will be doing better as they go with their arguments before the judge. We have Dr. Ralph Diner here. And Dr. Diner, you actually, did you know Simon Taub?
Oh, yes, I did. How you doing, Neil? I Googled you and I saw that we actually had him in common.
Yes.
For many years ago, almost probably 100 years ago now, before my mother met my father, Cy and my mother dated. And
so
I was
funny.
Friends with him on the phone in the 80s, and he got me to come down to Hollywood in the 90s.
Okay, so you have to tell me your mother's maiden name now, because I probably knew her.
Really? Miriam Greenberg.
I'm sure I did, because I was with him for 5 or 6 years and from 76 or 70.
Oh, no, I'm older than that, my friend. You and I actually were born the same year from Google, according to Google.
Okay, and Carrie and I share the same birthday, nonetheless.
You're July 12th?
I am indeed.
Same with, oh my gosh, there's a couple people, and I'm not, I used to be so excited that Bill Cosby used to have my birthday.
Not anymore,
but Julius Caesar has our birthday. So,
so does Milton Berle.
Yes,
wow.
Milton Berle, cool. That's true, yeah.
And before we had... We've had so much talk about Bill Cosby in shows from the past. So you have neglected to tell me that you were born on the same day as Bill Cosby.
You know, it's not. My dad used to love him, so I was so happy we were born on the same day. No, not anymore.
Right.
Not anymore. But I have a question. Do you have celebrities or your other clients that come to you and they do a prenup? And then when you've done do you do prenups?
We do.
Okay. So have you done a prenup and then years later, you know, the two people now are getting divorced, do they stick with it? Have you ever had anybody actually stick with it and kind of have a better word, nice divorce?
Yes, we have. It's,
wow.
You know, a lot of it depends, obviously, which side you're representing at the time the prenup is coming out of the closet, if you will. If you're, you know, representing the side that drafted it, of course you want to have that prenup stuck with by both sides.
Right.
But your question really goes to the other side, sort of the non-well-to-do spouse. And truthfully, if a prenup is done well in the beginning and it provides for the other spouse, sort of I'm calling the out spouse, we've had situations where they were so fairly drawn that the parties just agreed to live by them.
Now, that to me is sane. Those are two people that are very sane. I don't understand people. We're so in love. A prenup says you don't love me anymore. To me, that says you're crazy. You're insane. You have no idea. I mean, really, the reality, what the situation is. And to me, when two people do put together a prenup and they're both happy about it, I think they have a better chance of actually having a better marriage.
Yeah, it does put strain on a lot of marriages. I tell people, look, everybody says, look, take me at my word. Trust me. I'm an honorable person. Mm-hmm. And I always say, if your word is your bond, put it in writing.
That's
Why
right.
wouldn't you?
That's right.
Right. So that's first. But, you know, there are times that, you know, people do go into prenups and there's problems with them. Hopefully not the ones that we draft, but that we see.
Right.
So there are times that they need to be contested, if you will.
Neil, what's your position on postnups? Because we hear that a lot. In fact, I had a friend who was being forced, had a gun to his head, to enter into a postnup.
Well, there's a time and a place for those documents, a postnuptial agreement. If a marriage is in trouble and somebody wants to, you know, make a postnuptial agreement part of attempting to resolve the marriage, that's certainly a reasonable part of the negotiation between two people. But it has to be fair and equitable. If someone's, you know, feeling pressure to enter into a postnup, I could tell you right now that that person should not do that and file for divorce and just face the music wherever that leads. All doing the postnup is going to do is going to create additional and further problems if the marriage is already in trouble.
That makes a lot of sense. I want to change the subject really quickly to publicity for some of the celebrities who are going through a divorce. I was seeing that Camille Grammer, for instance, one of your clients, talked about having a sexless marriage for the last 2 years of her marriage with Kelsey Grammer. She was on The View and I think on Howard Stern. How do you feel as a representative of these clients who may go out into the public and do their thing while you're trying to protect their interests as their attorney?
Well, not speaking specifically about any particular client, we do spend a great deal of time with celebrities and their publicists, their attorney, entertainment attorneys, business managers, and we really try to make it a collaborative endeavor. And in that regard, we generally like to vet statements made to the public before they're made, because not necessarily in the example you gave, but there are circumstances where a public statement might have some impact on the divorce, and that's something that we want to control.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. And then, of course, there's these statements that come out, and we always hear the celebrities saying, oh, we're great friends, and we're going to be co-parenting. It's almost like the same writer is writing all of the public statements. Is that something that comes from the attorney or a publicist or a media rep or the actual couple?
I can't tell you, obviously, in every instance, but our office does get involved in assisting publicists with the issuance of statements because, as I say, there's a legal impact on – it could be a legal implication of what's being said. Those type of statements, the generic, we want everything to be nice, are really designed by celebrities who would like to keep their personal matter private, try to get through it with the least amount of litigation as possible, and I'm a big supporter of that as well as those type of public statements, actually.
Is there anybody that you've ever said, you know what, this person's such a big, you know what, I cannot represent them. I can't. They are just honestly just horrible people.
I can tell you that I have had clients that I've not because of that. I will say that I have clients that I don't support their position, not celebrities, by the way.
Okay.
That I don't take their case if I don't believe in what they're requesting or wanting or so on. So that if we're involved, we do a lot of custody work, and if there's a custody case and I don't support the position of my client, I don't do it.
Like somebody who's using the kids against the, you know, whether it's the man or the woman, but they're using the kids against.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If it's a claim that doesn't have any merit and it's being used as a strategy for money or for some other type of thing, we just don't get involved.
That's cool.
I will say that that's been very, very rare. My experience has been that most people are actually, to their credit, pretty concerned in a positive way about their children, even if they're fighting about everything else.
And there's a lot to fight about, and one of the things is, for instance, a pension. In the Kelsey Grammer case, there was some issue about his pension. What type of positive steps did you take to make sure that your client was protected in that regard?
So now you may hang up on me because two things I want to say. I can't speak about the specifics of any case, but even if I could, my partners all tease me that once the case is over, I pretty well flush it down the toilet and I don't remember the details.
That's a smart man.
So I couldn't tell you the details of that case, even if I could talk about it, which I wouldn't. I will tell you that in lots of cases, all of us have been practicing a long time, think we've seen it all and done it all, and then something comes up that we think we should know, and I scratch my head and I said, geez, I've never seen this before.
Yeah, right.
Which makes the law always interesting to us here.
Always happens to all of us lawyers. Dan is on the line from Montebello. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what's going on, Dan?
Well, I'm divorced. The settlement, I was in a long-term marriage. The settlement says I have to pay her for life. She already took half of my savings, half of my pension and everything. So when I retire in about 5 years on my pension, is she going to be taking half of my pension or part of my pension, double dipping into that as well?
I'd have to look at your judgment, obviously, but the property division and support are separate issues. So you, in a divorce case, you divide up your assets, and then support becomes a separate component. A lot of people think support is a double dip. For example, if you have a business that's valued and appraised, and then you have to pay support from the very income that that business produces. So there's a lot of people arguing this double dip theory. But the answer to your question is, in all likelihood, yes, the pension is going to be divided if that's what it provides in your judgment, and your support will have to continue. I would say, however, that once you retire, unless you made your support non-modifiable, which means it cannot be changed, at retirement, you will be able to ask the court to reduce your support since you're no longer employed. So it will be able to go down.
Reduce it but not eliminate it, even though the money's coming from the same place that she already took half of.
Again, without knowing your judgments precisely, I would say, I can't tell you with specificity, but the law in California is going to be reduced. Termination is a whole other matter. It's much more difficult to terminate in a long-term marriage. We would have to know what her earnings are, what her health is, how long it's been, if she was given a warning to go re-enter the workforce and so on. If she was given all those things and she didn't do it, you'd have a claim that your support should be terminated. But absent that, I would suspect that you would get a reduction but not a termination.
Dan, thanks for the call. We've got to move on. We're up against a break. I want to talk about custody battles and the children, the best interests of the children. Neil, if you can hang with us after the break, we want to get into this important subject. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Indeed, it's a beautiful day right here at Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. We are honored to have two special guests with us. We have Neil Hirsch of Hirsch Manison Bogan. They're in Beverly Hills, and they can be found at hirschmanis.com. And, of course, we have Dr. Ralph Diner, who is at drralphdiner.com. We're going to talk really quickly about custody battles. They seem to be particularly important in celebrity cases. Dr. Diner, tell us the mentality of the individual who's going through a divorce and how they sometimes forget about the best interests of the child.
Well, to keep it to the topic that we've been talking about, looking at it in terms of narcissistic disorder, I mean, there's obviously a whole range in narcissistic disorder, not to mention the whole population in general. However, I think in narcissism in its worst, you're looking at a divorce as an ego wound, a shattering of this high expectation and value that you have of yourself that's not being matched in the world. And a child becomes, especially to a high-level, non-functioning, well, that's sort of contradictory, a successful but maybe not necessarily the best functioning narcissist, a child is an object. It's even called object relations. They're the Ferrari, the piece of art. They're the child. It's just another rope in a tug of war.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. But let's hear it from the lawyer's perspective. Does that make sense to you? And what do you deal with, Neil, for these custody battles when you find a parent who's maybe a little intransigent and not considering the best interests of the children?
Well, look, part of this is educating your client, and that's easier said than done. Many times, clients' positions, as we talked about before, are antithetical to the kid's best interest. They're using the children for another purpose, perhaps get a better deal on finances or on property division and so on. And you just have to, as an advocate and for your client and as a counselor, you have to know your own limits. If you're asked to do things you don't believe in, you know, we just don't do it. Other times, we certainly try to counsel our clients to be more appreciative and concerned with the children's best interest, even at the expense of their own, if that's appropriate. Having said that, though, there are many cases where, you know, the issue of custody is serious and your client's position is very justified, and you have to fight very hard and diligently for their position.
What happens when one of the divorcing couple is doing a movie, for instance, they're going to be away for 2 or 3 months, and they have the kids with them? I know with Ben Affleck's situation that's going on right now, I think Jennifer Garner was doing a movie in Atlanta, and there was a question about Ben being able to be with the kids. Is that something, Neil, that you work out, or is there sometimes a lot of contentiousness around seeing the kids when you're doing a movie?
Well, dealing with celebrities who have travel schedules and work schedules that require them to be out of the city, where they live when there's minor children involved becomes a very sensitive issue. Obviously, it's best if the couple can work out those agreements amongst themselves, because it just obviously means that you can work around schedules, you can bring the children to the set, you can bring the the parents to the set with the children, the other parent. It just works very easily. If that doesn't happen and we have to go to court and ask for certain orders, you're weighing the interest of the children in travel, if there's school involved. They're very, very complex issues.
A question about Kelly Rutherford. I don't know if you if she's your client or not. I have no idea. But do you know the case where her husband, they got divorced? I think she ratted him out and he got deported. So he's now living in France, and she has 50-50 custody between her and her husband. But then the ruling was that her husband could take their American-born children to France to live with him, and she would have to go visit. How is that possible? How did that happen?
I have to tell you the truth that I don't know enough about the case to be able to comment, except to say that it seems very surprising to me, and it has for a long time. I just don't know the intricacies of this, and the reason I say that is because assuming that he can't come to the United States, there's nothing that would prevent her from having custody and bringing the children to him either in France or Monaco, wherever he was or is, for visitation, but have the children reside primarily in the United States. And the reason I say that, of course, which I think you're alluding to, is these are U.S. citizens.
Yes.
So it seems a little odd that the order is how it is. Having said that, that always leads me to question whether or not we're getting the full and complete story.
Right. Maybe there's something going on with her.
Is there a difference between legal custody and physical custody, and can that play a role in this?
There is a difference between legal and physical custody, yes, but that would not, in my view, be a reason or a rationale for this type of order. It just seems very surprising to me.
What is the difference between legal and physical?
Well, legal custody is basically the obligation to consult with one another regarding your child or children's health, education, and welfare, meaning we'd like the couple to make joint decisions about
okay.
their kids.
Yeah, right.
Physical custody is how we divide the time between the two parents.
Okay.
That makes a lot
Thank
of
you.
Sense. Now, I want to talk a little bit about resolution, because we're all about making things right on this show. And first, I'm going to ask Dr. Diner, when we have an alternative dispute resolution, such as mediation, how does that play on the minds of divorcing couples? Is that something that you have to be in the right frame of mind, or will it take away some of the stress? Because as we all know, divorce is a very, very stressful course to take.
Well, it depends on who you're dealing with, obviously, I would say. People who are somewhat amenable to a divorce together and have understood that it's for the best of everybody, mediation makes it a much more smooth process. I've done a few of those in my time. However, when there's real contentious or, you know, affairs and all kinds of backstabbing, they've usually degenerated into just another way to flush money.
And you can't get through to those individuals to get them to be a little more reasonable, especially when there's minor children involved.
That's usually the hook you play. Generally, I would say, again, if there's a spectrum that goes from people that can be moved and people that don't see the world in any way other than as a reflection of themselves, and they're not going to take that ding.
Neil Hirsch, what is your view on the mediation?
It has a place, obviously. There are people in family law who have their practices exclusively dealing with mediation. We do some of it. It is, I think, the exception rather than the rule, and I'll tell you several reasons for it quickly. One, most people, when they first start a divorce, one of the two of them, if not both of them, are pretty angry, and it's to a high level of anger, which does not bode well for mediation. So I always say, if you could freeze frame people and let them litigate for 6 or 7 or 8 months and spend a small or large fortune, then come around to mediation, that likelihood of success is far greater than starting out with angry people in mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are a lot of times, frankly, that one of the parties is really not as strong in terms of their knowledge of the finances and so on, and they need a sophisticated advocate to help find the assets, value the assets, and divide them. And that isn't something that's going to go on with the same
yes.
level of intensity as mediation.
That makes a lot of sense. We're talking to Neil Hirsch, and he is with Hirsch, Madison, Bogan, and he has represented the likes of Brad Pitt, Pamela Anderson, Halle Berry, Kim Basinger, and others.
Actually, not Brad Pitt, for correctness.
You weren't involved with the Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt?
I wasn't, but for about 10, 15 years, people always say that I was, so I keep trying to correct it, and if Brad is listening, I'm correcting it now.
Thank you for the correction. You've heard it right here on Gervie's Law. Neil Hirsch did not represent Brad Pitt, even though you might find that on the Internet. When we talk about attorneys who you're up against, how does that determine how you proceed in a divorce case with celebrity clients?
It's like anything else in all of our businesses. If you're dealing with people who are collaborative and cooperative, life goes more smoothly than if you're dealing with people who aren't. So the same is true in my field. There are people who doing business with is a pleasure, and there's people doing that we do business with that it's less of a pleasure, and it becomes more difficult and therefore more time-consuming and therefore more costly.
And you know who those people are, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you know you're a certified specialist in family law. I'm a certified specialist in workers' compensation law. It means that we've been doing this for a long time. And when we come up against attorneys in court, we basically know what to expect, and that can dictate our actions. And sometimes it can cause us to be a lot more conciliatory. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, it's like anything else. We, you know, when you meet somebody and you know your customer, you know how to deal with that person. Same with the judge in court, as you will. Have experience, I'm
right.
sure. You have to know your judge and judicial officer to be able to navigate there.
How many times have you had people get divorced and then get remarried again?
To the same people?
Yes, yes.
That was a good one.
Yes.
That's a good question. I don't know if that's happened. I've had people that I've done multiple divorces for that I said to people, I'm not doing them anymore. This is, if you haven't learned your lesson by now, get a divorce with somebody else.
Yeah.
Have you felt that you've had to be a psychologist? We have Dr. Ralph Diner here, and that's what he does. But I know as a family law attorney, that often seems to be a role you have to play.
So the answer to the question is a qualified yes. We always tell our clients to seek out mental health professionals to help them because it's a difficult time. Many of them already have these people in their world, but if they don't, we recommend it just as a matter of course. But having said that, there's no doubt that we do a lot of dealings with people. It's a people business, and you know we're called upon to use those skills as well.
Okay, question for both of you. I don't, you know, Dr. Diner and Neil here. How many divorces have you seen one person get? One person. How many?
I've seen five.
Five.
We're not talking about your own. We're talking
I'm only up to a small zip code of two.
Okay.
Neil Hirsch.
Oh, I don't know. I would say maybe four or five.
That's it? Being a divorce attorney?
Well,
that's it? I am disappointed.
You know what?
I mean, come on. You get divorced. You got to have a few years of dating. Then you start a marriage.
That's right.
There's only so many years in one's life that you can do
but
this.
But you're a celebrity
guy.
No, look, Elizabeth Taylor, eight.
Listen, I agree
yeah, no,
with...
I did one of those divorces for one of her husbands.
That must have been fun. I agree with Neil on that one because there's just so much energy we all have. As we start getting a little older, it's not that easy to continue going through the strife of a divorce. Neil Hirsch, I want to thank you for being on Gervie's Law. He is with Hirsch, Madison, Bogan. They can be found at hirschmanis.com. He's in Beverly Hills, one of the top divorce attorneys in the country. Neil, thanks for being with us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And Dr. Ralph Diner. Dr. Ralph Diner is one of the top psychologists, and he knows his stuff. If you want to go to his website, it's drralphdiner.com. drralphdiner.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Diner, for being with us.
Thank you both for having me.
Oh, and so, Jesse, my boyfriend wants a apology from you, Alan Gervie.
What did I do or say?
About the comment about how many people I've dated. He's very angry right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's very angry.
I am sorry. I want to say sorry,
sorry
in my Canadian accent to Jesse, and I want to say thank you to Dino, who's in the booth, who has been with me since my start, and we will be taking a little hiatus. Dino won't be working with me for a while, but he's taught me everything that I know, and I appreciate him more than words can say, and I hope very soon that we will be working together again. You are the best, Dino. And, of course, Debbie Payne, who's sitting here, thanks for all of your hard work as a producer. Jose, congratulations, or as we say, mazel tov for your baby. It is a wonderful, wonderful event, and enjoy your baby. Carrie, yes. Nice to see you. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.